I'm very happy now to welcome City Councilor Rebecca Wurzberger, who is running for office once again in the March 2nd elections from District 2. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Good morning.
So why are you running again?
Well, the flip answer is because I lost my mind, right? But the real answer is that I do believe in 8 years I've made a difference. And I love this work. I particularly love the policy work and problem solving. And over the past 8 years, I think I've made a difference in the major issues that face the city. I ran first in 2002, and the big issue at that time was water, water, water. We were in the middle of the drought. From that era, I helped develop the water budget, developed the legislation for the Buckman Diversion Project. So I've been able to take issues of the time and move forward, working very closely with the other councilors to make a difference.
So when you come in as a brand new city councilor, maybe with stars in your eyes or idealistic or maybe a little bit nervous or whatever, what's the learning curve like?
Well, I think the most important thing that I've learned, and I think that's what will make me a better councilor even in the future or wherever I end up in politics, is you learn that the I word is really irrelevant. Working on a council is working on a team. And you have to have the skills and the ability and the desire to craft legislation and craft solutions upon which you can get consensus. Those who say, I did this and I did that, even the way I just described, you know, in the beginning of my career, you can't do it unless you can work with the rest of the people around the table. And it's a very interesting process in that you're suddenly married to people that perhaps you never would have met before.
You wouldn't have even gotten engaged to.
You might have not even gotten engaged. You might not have even had a cup of tea with them, right? And I don't want to be hateful about that, but it's true. And so you have to sit down and figure out a way to work with them. And I think I've done a good job at that. And then you had the whole county side. When I was first on the council, the county was considered an evil empire. And we've really worked through that, you know, starting with the Buckman Diversion Project. And right now doing collaborative work on affordable housing. So that's also why I stay, because I'm so excited about those opportunities.
It seems to me, and please, I'm willing to be wrong about this, so correct me, but it seems that Santa Fe is a city where democracy is actually pretty active and functional.
Oh, I think democracy is really active and functional. Now, one of the principles of democracy is a lot of time a small group of people can have a huge effect. And some people think that's undemocratic. But to me, that's one of the essences of democracy, is that people, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 5,000, get together about a community issue and can make a difference. And I think we do that in Santa Fe.
But also during the election cycles and then during the city council meetings, it seems like we're a pretty vocal bunch as cities go.
We are a vocal city.
So
that's good.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the actual issues. We've talked with the mayoral candidates and some of the other city council candidates about something that is fundamental, which is financial stability. That's one of the planks on your platform.
Right. That's the primary reason that I ran. I have served on finance for 8 years, and I have learned a lot. And again, I've learned a lot about how to work with the other councilors to collectively look at how we're making decisions around that issue. This last year was the toughest year of our budget. We cut $15 million out of the budget. Right now, with the gross receipts tax, a deficit over the past 5 months, the trend has been down every month. We have another $1.5 million to cut between now and in this budget, between now and June. So,
how do you do it?
Well, we set a process in place. First of all, when the principals, I made the motion on the budget that said we would not go further into reserves, and I feel very strongly about that, and I won the argument with my counselors to proceed with no additional going into reserves. So now we're going to have to find other ways to do that. And the city manager, the previous city manager, put in place a process for looking at how we restructure and become more efficient. And we're hoping, at least for this year, that we'll be able to look at those reports that are coming out. They'll all be to the Finance Committee by the end of February, and will provide the basis for us moving forward between now and June to see what cuts have to be made, what positions can be combined. We haven't been filling positions, and we're going to have to stay with that. And we're going to have to hope that the gross receipts tax comes back up a little bit, or we'll be in a bigger problem.
Right. Let's talk about another thing that I know is dear to your heart, is the creative industries, creative Santa Fe, the creative nature of this city as a way of moving the city in good directions.
I'm so passionate about that. You'll recall, I think the last time we talked perhaps was around the creation of the UNESCO network here, and then that led to the first international conference on creative tourism,
right?
And for which we had over 300 people from around the world come. No, we haven't had thousands of visitors come back yet, but I'm convinced we will. The spinoffs of that conference are amazing. In the last month, we just had two training sessions. We have 90 artists now on our website, a special website for artists showing creative experiences that they will share, either with locals or with tourists. And so we had two training sessions these past two weekends in February, maybe one in January, one in February, where artists were exposed to ideas for how do you welcome people into your studio? How do you really create a hands-on experience for people who aren't artists? But the trends show very clearly that this is an up-and-coming worldwide trend, and that's why I'm so jazzed about it. I say, you know, if we could get 0.001% of the Chinese travelers here, we would not have a deficit.
Right.
You know, we continue to take our regular tourists, and that's great, but I believe we really must expand internationally. But we do it in a way that's authentic. It's not a way of just branding the city.
Right.
We have all this beautiful culture here. We have artists who are so creative, and it's making that connection.
Another problem that I think is a little less talked about than what is, I don't know, it's because it's been snowing so much, but is water.
Well, I think people are more comfortable with water. Certainly, when you factor in the big unknown of global warming, you know, how can we really plan for that?
Yeah.
Other than to say, everybody just turn off the water right now. But I think...
Well, stop growing food.
Stop growing food. You know, stop watering any plants.
Stop eating,
you know. I think that we have made progress in water, starting with the Buckman Diversion Project, which will allow us to rest our Buckman wells. And that project is now on time and on budget. It'll be finished in 2011. I've been co-chair of that for 8 years. And that was another reason I wanted to stay on board, to make sure that that is finished. So I think, and also what the citizens have done with respect to conservation. And we've got major conservation efforts. We just announced again today the toilet retrofit program is still in existence, but we've retrofitted 40,000 toilets.
Every toilet in the city.
Now we're going to get to do the counting, right? But we're instituting new ways to do that. Washing machines, the kind of equipment that you put on a faucets, outdoor rain system, so you can control how much your garden is getting watered. So we have a whole lot of incentives around those areas as well that should help us to continue to conserve.
We've got just about another minute. Do you want to talk about affordable housing? You want to talk about it? Just
I'll
leave it up to you.
I want to talk about affordable housing. That's when you asked me what have I learned. I had a real aha moment 2 years ago when the McCune Foundation did the study that showed the economic impact of not having people live here who work here. And that is about $300 million again every year that we lose because the people who earn their money here working for the city and the state drive to Albuquerque or drive to Española, and they don't spend their money. That's our primary source of income is GRT. They don't spend it here. They don't stop and buy their diapers. They go home and they do it. This is a major force that we need to address, a major issue. We've had it on our agenda, but we need to ratchet it up and look at it not only as a social issue, which it is, because this isn't the community I moved to 20 years ago.
No, you could afford a house.
You could
20
afford
years
a house.
Ago, you had, and there weren't these gazillion-dollar spec houses.
You had neighbors. When I moved here, coming from L.A., I was so excited. There were only 7 houses over a million. You know how many are there? There are now over 250, I think.
Yeah. As I said to Mayor Cost, divide them all up and make them into affordable housing.
I don't know that that'll happen, but I think in terms of how we spend our water, how we encourage the building community to get involved and address the issue of housing, it needs to be tied to affordable or workforce housing. That includes moving up housing. It's not just, you know, the very first-time home buyer.
Rebecca Wurzberger is running for re-election in District 2. Thanks so much for being with us.
Okay.